Welcome to worship. I'm Pastor Molly Vetter, and it's my great joy to welcome you to worship today from Westwood Church. It's been a long week and a long season, and it is so good to have this time and space to gather together in the presence of God and one another, even virtually, to seek after the love of God. It's our joy and commitment as a church to not only welcome but delight in the diversity of people who are a part of our community. And we welcome and celebrate the diversities of age and race, of gender and sexual orientation, who call this church their home. And we hope you feel at home as you watch. Whether you're a person who has long participated here in this space or have just found us online, you are welcome with us. And we hope you'll say hello to one another in the comments here so we can see the community as we gather, either in real time or later through the week. I also want to affirm that we are a congregation that values faith and questions, that invites us to do the work of seeking after greater understanding together. We come together this Sunday and all Sundays to be strengthened for the work of doing justice, loving kindness, and walking humbly with our God. So welcome. May the peace of Christ be with you.
This is the ancient cry of the prophets. This is the holy proclamation of our time. This is the call upon our lives. Let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. We will keep laboring together to make it so. No act of love is made in vain. Harboring each other, let us keep reaching for God's future. We pray. Spirit of compassion, when your kingdom feels impossibly far, you encourage us in hope that is neither naive nor escapist. In grief and loss, you draw us towards each other, strengthening our relationships, deepening our connections, building our power as we grow closer. Keep us from rushing too quickly through what makes us human and helps us to connect with the humanity of others. Amen.
Thank you. reading from Psalms 78. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known, that our ancestors have told us.
We will not hide them from their children. We will tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. He established a decree in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them and the children yet unborn, and rise up and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope to God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments.
This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel reading comes from Matthew in chapter 25. Jesus said, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a shout. Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Lord,
Will you pray with me? O Holy Spirit, may my words and our thoughts and our lives reflect the fullness of your grace. We pray in your holy name. Amen. Y'all, what a week it's been. I'm going to say y'all because I've been paying attention to Georgia a lot this week. And as I've attempted to pay attention to this Sunday's scriptures, especially this gospel passage from Matthew chapter 25, I just kept seeing myself in the place of those bridesmaids, waiting late into the night, refreshing my news feed, waiting for updated election returns on Tuesday night and Wednesday night and Thursday night. I don't know how you've been doing through this week, if you have the discipline to avoid such vigilant attentiveness or if you've been drawn in. I suspect that all of us, to some extent, have had our attention turned to the results of this presidential election, as well as the myriad of other elections happening at local and state levels that have tremendous implication for us. It's uncanny that this week the scripture passage was one that described these late into the night episodes of attentiveness, here characterized by wise and foolish bridesmaids. I find in this particular parable then an invitation to think about this moment in my life, in our lives, and in our lives of faith as a church. There are some similarities, but also important difference. And this is why we come together in church. To remember a bigger picture, to see ourselves as part of a bigger story, to remember a deeper connection to God that invites us to see all the way to the reign of God. This particular parable that Jesus tells late in the Gospel of Matthew is one of a series of parables of judgment that come near the end of the Gospel story. They're parables that I tend to find a little bit uncomfortable, as a judgment has the very real implication of creating those inside and outside. And my view of God, my claim on Christ's love, tends to rest in the assurance of grace and love, of inclusion and belonging. And so judgment makes me a bit uncomfortable. I a little bit prefer the parable that will come later in this chapter, where Jesus separates sheep from goats and puts at his right side, invites into his kingdom, those who saw people in need and came to their assistance. The parable for today, though, however, is a little bit different, and there's more in it that is unsettling to me. Chief among them, this episode in the middle of the story. In the story that Jesus tells, there are 12 bridesmaids waiting outside of a wedding celebration for the bridegroom to arrive. They've brought their lamps, and five of them, the wise ones, have brought with them an extra supply of oil. The other five just have their lamps. And the night stretches on, and so they fall asleep and grow drowsy, and it's only at midnight, an unexpected hour, that the bridegroom arrives. And all of the bridesmaids trim their lamps and prepare to go into the celebration, but only the five who brought the extra oil have light to carry with them into the celebration. The other five are left, quite literally, out in the dark. They ask for the bridesmaids who had brought oil to share with them, and that request for sharing is denied. This is, for me, one of the most uncomfortable moments of the parable. I prefer to emphasize an ethic of sharing, a gospel economy where the good things of God are only multiplied in their sharing, but in this moment, there can be no sharing. And so the five who have no more oil are sent back to the store to replenish their supply. And when they re-arrive, they knock on the door and call out to be let into the party. But the bridegroom claims he does not know them, and they are left outside of the celebration. This parable of judgment was told here toward the end of Matthew's gospel and included in Matthew's gospel, which was written later in the first century, after Jesus' death and resurrection, after the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, in the midst of a Christian community that's struggling to understand why the promise that they had understood to mean a fulfillment of the reign of God in their own lifetimes, doesn't seem to be coming to fruition. As Matthew writes this gospel, he's attempting to convey the good news to people who are disappointed that it's not yet what they expected, that the fulfillment of time has not yet come to be. And so this is a story of waiting, of making it through this meantime, of abiding in the uncertainty of when the arrival of what we long for will finally come. The bridegroom in this story, we understand to represent Jesus, to represent the arrival of God, of Christ into the world, to come at an unexpected moment and to usher in this celebration, which is the kingdom of God. Now, as much as I felt like I could relate to these bridesmaids waiting in the dark, wondering if they had enough oil, feeling drowsy and falling asleep between times when they hit refresh on that homepage, the story doesn't work as an allegory for this moment in our national politics. No candidate on any slate is the bridegroom in this story. This election in our nation is one that has significant consequence and that matters, but it is not the arrival of the fulfillment of God's promise. I think of the distance yet to go in our world as we seek after the love and justice of our God. We Methodists, from our early days, have had a reputation for fairly methodically and systematically coming up with practices and structures to help us live out our faith. And early Methodist societies were organized around small bands of people, groups of people who would gather to check in accountability with one another about how they're living out their faith. And they had, together, three simple rules. Under each of them was an elaboration of how to do that rule, what that looked like in the midst of their own time. But those early Methodists had three simple rules that have been translated into contemporary language as, first, to do no harm, second, to do good, and third, to stay in love with God. I know that many of you have used these rules before, that we've studied them as a congregation, that we hold on to them as anchors and sources for inspiration for living today. But I just want to remind us that they feel so vivid even now in the midst of this moment. The things that can be decided in an election have something to do with this first rule of doing no harm, of preventing the marginalization and disenfranchisement, the dispossession of people in our nation. And in this moment of days after the election, as questions of the outcome are based on efforts to remove people from the opportunity to vote legally, as voter suppression efforts take a new form in questioning the outcome of mail-in ballots, we have a real threat to our fabric of democracy in the systematic disenfranchisement of groups of people. Avoiding the temptation to fall into that kind of way of doing democracy is a first step at avoiding harm, at doing no harm to one another. But the call of Christ is so much bigger. It is to do the good of the world, to do the work of crafting the laws that will help enable a just society, of building the networks and communities that will make the reality of a flourishing of life possible for all. And that kind of work cannot be accomplished by elections alone or by politicians alone. It's the kind of work that belongs to us as God's people. And in this moment in the life of our nation, when the divide between political sides is so deep, when the characterization and judgment of the other is so strong, it is helpful to remember that our call is also to do no harm even to our opponents, and that our vision of the kingdom of God requires us building a community that is fullness of life for everyone. This isn't to say that we have to give in or compromise on all things, but it is to acknowledge that we cannot claim victory as the beloved community until we are all included in the celebration. The parable that Jesus tells here toward the end of Matthew's gospel is a parable told to insiders, told to those who were a part of his religious community. They're parables told not as a way of inviting outsiders in, but as a way of helping insiders reckon with the very real need to understand that this faith takes work and preparation, the discipline of choosing love and forgiveness and hope, the discipline of showing up again and again to speak up and to speak out for justice, to relentlessly pursue the good of all. This work of faith requires that we know where to find sources of life that are like oil for our lamps. As troubled as I am by this moment in the parable where the wise bridesmaids refuse to share with the foolish bridesmaids, I also then find opening to consider why it is that this oil can't be shared, and wonder what it is in our faith life that we cannot transfer from one to another. What is it that we have to take responsibility for ourselves to take up on our own behalf? And I think it might be pointing us to the work of faith that requires each of us give our heart to the God of all creation, to the Jesus Christ of grace and love, to the hope and life of the Holy Spirit. There's something in our faith that requires us to do that preparation ourselves that's not transferable to another, but that requires each of us ourselves awakening to the invitation and the reality and the gift of the love of God in us, that we might let that flame of Holy Spirit life burn in and through us for the sake of the world. I think Jesus' parable is pointing us to take seriously the call that's on each of our hearts, not to ride along on someone else's wave of faith, but to take account of our own lives and to turn our own hearts more fully toward God, to seek more deeply, to claim a hope more fully, to trust in a love more completely. I'm not saying that this is easy work. It's something that I join you in trying to do from moment to moment. And it's in these times of waiting, not only for election results, but for the end of pandemic, for a change in the world, for safety for all God's children, for inclusion and belonging in the church, for the fulfillment of the reign of God. In this time of waiting, we find ourselves questioning what it is we should give our attention to, what it is we should pay attention to, how it is that we should orient our hearts and spend our days and times and lives. We cannot know when God will arrive in our very midst. We cannot know how the openings for the kingdom and reign of God will come into our world, but we have to remain ready. Just this morning, I was reading a post on G's magazine, some beautiful writings from a writer named Michelle Both, who writes this musing. I share it as poetic invitation today. She says, my midwife said, when you feel labor beginning, to start baking, just pick a recipe and begin. She said, your labor may be long. It may feel unbearable at times. It may take a lot from you. But we need you here. We need you focused. We need you for the long haul. One ingredient at a time, gently mixing, carefully molding in the moment. She said, when it's finished, to take a nap. We don't know how long it will take, but we know we need you rested when it comes. And then when you wake up, if you ever think you aren't going to make it through, you will have something to nourish your body and the body of those at your table, and you will keep going. I was moved by this poetic invitation to take up practices that help us be prepared for the long road ahead, that nourish our bodies and lives and community so that we can keep going for the journey still ahead of us, the distance to that time and place where we will be gathered together as one community, where all will not only know safety, but flourishing of life. There is so much work to do. The reality of white supremacy is still palpable and powerful and disabling in this world. And still, the work of justice, the power of an alternative way of being where all humans are people of agency and power and worth, where the safety of Black lives no longer needs to be lifted up for separate attention because it will be given everywhere, where our LGBTQ siblings will no longer wonder if their close relationships will be deemed legitimate at crisis times in life, whether their safety in neighborhoods and communities will be assured. Instead, in that day, our whole world will reflect the beauty of the reign of God. This is possible when we anchor ourselves in the deep love of our God, when we see the long view of God's work in the world. And when we do our part to make sure to resupply the oil, the gift of faith in God that keeps us going in this long work for justice, may you have in this moment and in every moment the strength that you need to carry on in the work of doing justice and loving kindness and walking humbly with our God. Though moments feel apocalyptic, they are but small uncoverings of a truth already real, and that is of the reign and power of God's unfailing love. May you hold and live into that love today. Amen.
And the stars begin to Let us join together in the prayers of the people. As we come together from our many places and perspectives, this morning we offer the prayers of the people from the 580 Cafe, giving voice and word to the concerns of our hearts, family, and community. We share these prayers, hopes, and realities as we struggle to find peace and hope in these united states of anxiety after a week that has left us weary, worn, wary, leaving us wondering how we move forward towards God's beloved community and shalom when we are experiencing life's unrelenting global pandemic, natural, political, social, and ideological disasters that pull us away from our common humanity and destabilize our sense of dignity, value, and worth. In our dis-ease of seeking personal comfort and self-protection, we witness the consequences of our complicity and complacency in partisan politics, white supremacy, religious triumphalism that have created and support systemic oppression, violence, and hatred that shatters your call to justice, love, and mercy. Let us hear these prayers of our people and community as your call to pray, listen, and act for the liberating love and grace we find in Christ. Let our hearts, though bruised and battered, be open to receiving and sharing the good news for all people, nations, and creation. Together we pray for
하나님 아버지, 이 어려운 시간 속에서 오직 주님과 함께 하심을 믿고 이 세상을 주님의 지혜로 이해하고 바라보고 견딜 수 있도록 주님 저희들에게 힘을 허락하여 주시옵소서. Dear Lord, thank you for putting us together in this difficult time. Give us your wisdom to keep the faith, to hang in there in this pandemic, and give us the thankfulness to be in your love and to share with other people who need it. Thank you, Lord. And by the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. God of
justice, hear our prayer.
We pray for the people of the Philippines, those lives and livelihood are challenged by harsh political and military rules, those home and well-being are facing yet another typhoon, unmanaged, limited health care and basic resource, and the global pandemic of COVID-19 and poverty. May your comfort and grace give them strength and hope.
God of justice, hear our prayer.
Padre nuestro que estás en el cielo, Señor, santificado sea tu nombre. Gracias por un día más de vida, Señor. Sabemos que hoy en los Estados Unidos, Señor, se está viendo muchas injusticias, Padre, pero te pedimos que tengamos la confianza que tú reinarás, no importa quién es presidente, tú eres rey, y déjanos tener esa confianza, Señor. Te pido que tú estés por el pobre, el órfano, el inmigrante, el indocumentado, Señor, al dolido, al que está en depresión, Señor, y tenga mucha ansiedad. Te pido, Señor, que pueda encontrar paz, Señor, en ti, que todo lo que tú quieras, Señor, se va a hacer. Te pido eso en el nombre de Cristo Jesús. Amén. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you just surrendering all the anxiety, surrendering all that's happening in our world, Lord. People are hurting. People are in pain. Lord, there's orphans, Lord. There's widows. There's undocumented immigrants. There's people fighting depression and anxiety right now, God. And I just ask that you show up, Lord, that you show these people peace, that someone can share with them, Lord, your hope. I trust in you fully, Lord, that no matter who is president at the end of the day, Lord, that your will be done and that you will be king over us. God, I trust fully in you, and I ask that you heal our wounds, Lord, and that we can trust you fully. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God of justice,
hear our prayer.
We pray for the people, families, and children of Artsakh whose lives are under assault from military aggression, the rise of COVID-19, and the threat of yet another genocide of Armenian people. We pray for peace to prevail, for the global community to refute military aggression of a sovereign nation and destruction of lives for political gain.
God
of justice,
hear our prayer.
In our struggle against imperialism, supremacy, and all that separates us from living as your beloved community, we must rest but not give up the fight, for our liberations are intertwined and we're in this together. In days like this and in the days to come, it is in caring for each other that we grow stronger together, sharing the load, knowing that there are others on the front lines continuing to fight the fight. For the powers that be will do everything they can to isolate and separate us so they can hold onto that power. But they will not win in the end as we continue to come together. We commit to living our faith in action, to use our voice, resources, and actions to amplify your call to justice for students, families, people, and your communities. Give us courage to not stop until families everywhere can sleep at night without fear of forced separation, immigration, or police arrest, violence, or threat to their lives, cultures, and existence.
God, who calls us to love our neighbor as you love us, we pray that your grace leads us courageously to act justly, love compassionately, and walk in the way that leads to peace for all creation. It is in your name we pray to glorify and lift the name of Christ for all. Amen.
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 Thank you so much for being with us for worship today. Our worship is richer because of your participation. I want to encourage you to continue to go deeper, not only in your life of faith, but also in connection to our congregation, and would remind you that there are two special opportunities directly after our 10 a.m. worship this Sunday. At 11, you're invited to join our follow-up class. This morning will be led by Kenny Cruz of our congregation, and we'll continue discussion related to this morning's scriptures from worship. Also, at 11 a.m. this morning by Zoom, I'm hosting a new member class. Whether you know you want to be a part of the church as a member or are just curious and have some interested questions, you're welcome to join us for that. It's a two-week class, this week and next, and I hope you'll consider joining. We are grateful for those who continue to go deeper in their lives of faith, even in this time of physical separation. Last week was a lot of fun at our Fall Saints Day. It was so rich to be able to be physically present with some who were able to be here and also to be connected with those who connected online in our morning experience and in our evening worship. There were some technical troubles during the moment of the 6 p.m. communion service, but it's now available for viewing. And if you missed it but want to participate at this later time, know you're always welcome to go back and see our videos from previous weeks, which stay on our Facebook page and also are on our YouTube page. It is such a gift to be able to have opportunities to connect, even in this time when we're apart. I want to invite you to join me in prayer for one who has been dear to our congregation. That is the Reverend Frank Wolf. He's the lead pastor of the Echo Park United Methodist Church and used to be the pastor of the Wesley Foundation at UCLA and was then connected to Westwood Church. Frank was recently diagnosed with non-alcohol-related cirrhosis of the liver, and as he undergoes early stages of figuring out what that means and what options are possible, we pray with him for this time of waiting and uncertainty and also for healing. We have a prayer shawl for him, and I invite you from where you are to join me as we pray over this shawl for Frank. Holy Spirit, we pray that you would pour out whatever is healing is possible on your son, your beloved child, Frank. We pray that you would offer him healing and relief and fullness of life. We place our trust and hope in you and give to you our thanks. This and all our prayers we lift in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Now, as those who have gathered together to worship, we are sent forth to be those who live our faith in our everyday lives, who continue the work of justice and love. So go forth from this place, knowing access to a spiritual strength which, like oil for a lamp, keeps us burning bright with the love of God. Be in peace. Amen.